We're going to start the Torah of Mem Chet Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shalosh Asherotain. There are three different types of Asherot, which the Mishnah is about to enumerate. Number one is Ilan, Shenato'o Mitchila L'Shem Odat Kochavim. So this is something that was planted with the intent of it being Avodah Zarah, of it being an Asherah. Harizu Asura. That is completely Asur, because the tree itself was planted with the intent of worshipping it, and therefore it's Avodah Zarah from its inception, from its beginning. On the other hand, the next two Asherot, one is Gid'o Upislo, L'Shem Avodat Kochavim. So here, Gid'o Upislo, Gid'o probably means to prune it, to take off branches, to take some of the branches off, to leave the trunk intact, but take off the branches. Pislo is to remove the psolet, to again prune, but maybe here referring to the leaves rather than the branches. But Gid'o Upislo, so he somehow pruned the tree, the intent, the Shem Avodat Kochavim,
V'Hechliv.
Right, I don't know if it's really pesel. I know what you're thinking of the word pesel here from the word pesel. I'm not sure, because you'll see what as the Mishnah continues, that doesn't really sound that way. Okay. The pislo comes from the word from pasul, probably, from solet, rather than the lifsol, to carve out. So he does it, the shem of rechachamim ve'achlif. And now it returns. I mean, that which he cut off now grows back. So then, notel mashe hechlif, you have to remove the new growth, because the new growth is dedicated to the Avodah Zarah. The reason that he pruned it back, the reason that he cut it back, was so that the new growth would be dedicated to the Avodah Zarah. So if the new growth comes in, you must remove that new growth, get rid of it. That's Asur B'Hanah. But whereas, it seems from the Mishnah, the Ikar, the trunk, and everything else of the tree would be fine. If the tree itself is not functioning as the Avodah Zarah, but rather there is Avodah Zarah underneath the tree, then v'natla, once that Avodah Zarah is removed, harizu muteret. Then the Asherah is muteret, or this tree is muteret. So here you have the three Asherot that are enumerated over here. One where it's planted with the intent of using it for Avodah Zarah, that's problematic, the gamre problematic. There's the other one where there's Avodah Zarah under the tree. In that instance, the tree itself is not problematic unless the Avodah Zarah is still underneath the tree. Once you remove the Avodah Zarah, then the tree is fine. Then the in-between case, or the middle case, which is a case where he specifically pruned, carved, did something in the tree with the intent of it, that which grew afterwards being dedicated for Avodah Zarah, then the new growth is problematic, whereas the central trunk, the ikar, the main parts of the tree would be fine. So Amrei Debei Rabbi Yanai, V'hu Shehivrich V'erkiv B'gufo Shel Ilan. So this is referencing to the middle section of the Mishnah, the middle section which says Gid'o Pislo. Over here, Rabbi Yanai says, well, you have to do something more significant. Gid'o Pislo is not really an activity in the tree, it's a small activity in the tree. We want you to take significant action in the tree in order for it to be dedicated to Avodah Zarah. Yeah, so now the Hivrich V'erkiv. Now Hivrich and Yerkiv, Yerkiv is to graft, Hivrich is from the word berech, is a knee, which many times the Gemara discusses it with grapevines, which is to take a shoot of the grapevine or take a shoot of the tree and then plant it into the ground and pull it up in another location. So you push it, you bury out part of that branch in the ground and then bring it up in another location, and then you hope that that roots. Although even though it's attached still to the central tree or vine, nevertheless it'll root by itself also and bring up another plant or another vine in that area. So that's, he wants you to do Yivrich V'erkiv B'gufo Shel Ilan. V'anan. And what about our Mishnah? The Gemara says, the Tana Debei Rabbi Yanai says we need significant action to be classified or to be problematic for Avodah Zarah. Our Mishnah is explicit. V'anan, Gid'o Pislo T'nan. Our Mishnah says that all you have to do is Gid'o Pislo, that's already problematic. Ella, Kitmar De Rabbi Yanai, Linyan Bitul Itmar. So over here, the Avagav De Yivrich V'erkiv B'gufo Shel Ilan. That even though he was Hivrich or Hirkiv B'gubo Shel Ilan, when he takes what the new growth is, everything is fine. Why? The Ma'ud Tema, what do I have thought? When I take such a significant action in the tree, that's as if I replanted the tree, grafting a tree. I mean, if we say in the first line in the Mishnah that planting a tree is Asur Legamre, to graft the tree is a significant action in the tree. I would think that that's as if I planted it anew. It's as if I made a new tree together, and it should be totally Asurah. The answer is no, that it's enough. That Hivrich Yirkiv is enough that whatever grows afterwards, a new growth, if you remove that, that's enough. But then it's not Mashmalan, that it's only like Gidol Pislo. So that's why the Tanit Rebbe Yanai comes to teach us that not only is Gidol Pislo enough of an action to make it into Avodah Zarah, but Hirkiv and Ivrich are not so significant that they make it as if you've replanted the tree. They are equivalent to Gidol Pislo, and therefore whatever grows new on the tree will be a surah, and you'll have to remove that. Whereas everything else, the ikar, or these main parts of the tree, will remain mutarim, and you can use those, or they don't have a classification of avodah zarah. Right now, Shmuel has a statement. Amar Shmuel, Mishtachaved Ilan, Tosaftei Asura. Someone who bows down to a tree, anything that the tree adds, any growth after that point in time, is asura. So obviously the Gemara is going to ask from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Meiti Rebbe Lazar, Gidol Pislo Lavdar Kochavim Bechlif, Otal Meshech Hechlif. Our Mishnah is explicit that when it comes to Nashira, that it's not sufficient to bow down to the tree. You need to do some action in the tree in order for it to be asura. So that's what Shmuel comes along and says, just bowing down is enough? And now we have our Mishnah which says, no, it's not enough to bow down. You must take some action in the tree to be a chlif asura. So he gido pislo in. That's only if you take action. Lo gido pislo, lo. That bowing down itself is not enough to asur the tree. Now Tosfos points out over here, how come the Gemara doesn't answer the same way it does by bayit, which is we distinguished over there between by mechubar versus it was mechubar from the beginning, it was mechubar afterwards. How come the Gemara here doesn't discuss the whole issue of whether a tree is mechubar or not mechubar, or differentiate somehow along the way of when it was bowed down to all these items? The Gemara makes no distinction. The Gemara is going to go on to give on a different answer. Moses over here makes a distinction between trees and houses. He says that ilan shum mushrash bekarka betela tfisato. Tosa says that a tree is more significantly considered mechubar the karka than a bayit or a wall. And that a tree really draws its sustenance from the ground, and a tree is really, is gedder begedder mechubar the karka. And because of that, bowing down itself to the tree will not be enough. Because we had that by the harim, by other items that are mechubar the karka, that belong to the karka, you can't make them into avodah zarah. So too over here, we're talking about the Nashira, that it's a tree. The tree has a significant status of Mechubar the Karka. And therefore, bowing down in itself is not going to be enough. So you can't make such a distinction that, you know, that's by bowing down and that's by Gidol Pislo. You can't make such a distinction. You need both. You need significant action over here to change the Mechubar the Karka and to give it status of Avodah Zarah. Obviously, it's between a bayit and a mountain. But Tosfos is saying that you can't put it in the category of bayit, where you'll distinguish between just bowing versus doing an action in the item. Over here, you're going to have to say that it's mechubar the karka enough that we need significant action, which means ishtar chavayah by itself will not be enough. You'll need gidol pislo also on top of that. Tosfos says, gidol pislo below ishtar chavayah vaday lo haya mo'il klum. Afilu mandamar avir kachim shal avir kachim asura miyad, hainu bedavar talush. So Tosa says you need both actions over here to make it significant. One more is not enough. That's what he says. The term he says it's betela tfisato. That's that your action is betela because it becomes so mechubar the karko. That's the idea. Alright, I'm Amalecha Shmuel. So the Gemara says Shmuel can answer like this. Hamani Rabbanan hi. Our Mishnah is the Rabbanan. Ushmuel damar karevesi Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel can hold like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Damar, Ilan, Shinat O, Ulusof of Do, Ilan that was planted and then only worshipped afterwards, Asur. That is classified as being Asur. So he says, I'm talking about the Chachamim. The Chachamim in the Mishnah say Gidol Pislo, you need Gidol Pislo, because a tree that's planted and only worshipped after the fact, that's not Asura according to the Chachamim. Therefore I need Gidol Pislo in order to make it Asura. That's the Shita Chachamim. I'm talking in the Shita of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, we saw this back on Daf Mem Hayam at Bet. Right there, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says it's enough that even after the tree is planted, that when you bow down to the tree, that makes it into Avodah Zarah. That's me, Shmuel says. You bow down to this tree, problematic. That's the difference between them. So Shmuel could have answered like this, that it's Am Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that's the Chmishna is the Chachamim. Now we have a question. Matif La Ravashi. Ravashi says, Mimai Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan b'tosefet pligei. Your underlying assumption here is that the Chachamim and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about the additional growth on the tree. A tree that is bowed down to after it's planted, the additional growth is what we're worried about. Chachamim say the additional growth is not problematic, whereas Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says the additional growth is problematic. That's our assumption here. Dima, tosefet l'dibri akol asur. Maybe everybody agrees that the additional growth is problematic. And they're arguing about the core of the tree that exists to that point in time. The Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Savar Yikro Nami Asur. The Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says the trunk, that which existed or pre-existed the bowing down, is also Asur. Dichtiv, because it says, Vashirehem Tisrufun Beish. So here's the Psukim. It says, by the Ashrehem Tisruf Beish. Ashrehem is in plural, which indicates two Asherot. One Asherah, which is the one that was worshipped from the moment it was planted, I mean planted with the intent to be worshipped. The other one which is planted and then worshipped, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So those will both be Tisrufun Beish, they'll both be Asurim, meaning the whole thing, not just the Tosefet. Rabbanan Sabrei, Ikar Allah and Shari. And the Chachamim hold no that the core of the tree is Mutar, Dichtiv, Ashrehem, Tigadeyun. Right, that there are some trees which tigadeun, the word gid'o from our Mishnah, which is some trees only require you to remove the additional growth. Which trees that require you only to remove the additional growth? That's a tree that was bowed down to after it was already planted. There the ikar would be mutar, but the additional growth would be asur. But what does come out of this is that both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, according to this explanation of Rav Ashi, believe that any additional growth will be Asura. If that's the case, then Shmuel can hold both like the Chachamim and like Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda, because both of them believe that any additional growth after bowing down is Asura. Ezri Ilan, Shigidu O Asur Vikro Shari. Ashrim Tika Deun, how are we going to darshan that? We're going to darshan that Ilan, Shigidu O Asur Vikro Shari. What is that? Rabbi Omer, Ilan, Shinatol, Sof Abdo. To Rav Ashi's question, why are you explaining the Brisa where, it, according to Shmuel, it has to be a Machlokes Tanaim? Explain the Brisa in a way which makes it that he would be the Divrei Akol. Gemara says, "V'chitema." And you want to say, "Ad lo matarzino nochi." What about the Gemara back on Mamhei Amud Bet? The Gemara Mamhei Amud Bet actually has Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda using the pasuk Vashereihem Tigadeyun to support his position, and the Chachamim used the pasuk Vashereihem Tisrufun Beish to support their position. Over here, you're assigning each pasuk the opposite individual. So what about that? What about the fact that back on Memhei Amud Bet you didn't use the Psukim? The Gemara says, Ipuch, Rabbanan, the Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbanan. Now, Ipuch over here does not mean change their positions. Not change their positions, but change their drashot. I mean, they use the opposite drashot like we did here. So that's what the Gemara says, Ipuch, change their whole positions to read this way, that Ashrayim means the plural, by Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda means both types of trees. Then, Vashrayim Tigadeyun, what's he going to do with that? Shreem Gidtega Deon, he has that extra puzzle now because he learned it out from Shreem Tisruvun Beish. That will teach us about Yiduye Avodot Chachavim Kodmim Kibush Eretz Yisrael. That for stuff that was pruned before Kibush Eretz Yisrael, over there, that will apply the pasuk by Shreem Tika Deon. And the Chachavim will learn that out from the pasuk of Me'avot Veidun. So just like over there, the psukim, we can just reverse the psukim. You can have the whole limud work from Memhei Amud Bet, just using the psukim in the way that we're learning them right now. So then the Gemara gets to the ultimate question is, which I think, which Shaul, which is somewhat of what you're asking over here, is if you flip, now, Ipoch, Rabbanan, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbanan, in their limud, Im Kain, Gido Pislo, Man Ketanilo. Who's the author of our Mishnah? If you can explain the Braita the way Rabbi Ashi does now, which is that the argument's about the core of the tree, but the Tosefet is everybody says is Asur, then how do you reconcile between the Braita and the Mishnah? Now you have nobody who's authoring our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that you require an action, Gidol Pislo, in order to make it Asur. Yet, the Braita is saying that Ishtachavaya is enough by itself. Now, you're the way you're explaining Rabbi Ashi, whether it's Rabbi Yosi Bridor or Rabbanan, either one's enough to create that the growth afterwards is Asurah. So how could it be? According to Rabbanan, the way Rav Ashi is explaining it, even without any Gido Pislo, simply bowing down to Tosefet Asurah, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Ikar Ilan Nami Asur. What are you talking about? The growth for the core tree is problematic. So when it says, Ibayit Eimar Rabbanan, Ibayit Eimar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. We're the one, we can explain, according to the way Rashi is explaining the opinions of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbanan, we can still explain our Mishnah. Why is that? Some say we can speak about Rabbi Yosef. When you bow down without taking any other additional action, then we will know you want to worship the tree. You want to worship the tree. Not only is the Tosefet Asura, but even the Ikar Ilan is Asur. Because you bow down to the tree, you worship the tree. On the other hand, if you prune the tree, if you do some action to the tree that's indicative of the fact that what's significant to you here, it's not the Ikar Ilan. You're not interested in the Ikar Ilan in terms of Avodah Zarah. What you are interested in is the additional growth afterwards. That's indicated by your action of Gidol Pislo. So Gidol Pislo actually minimizes the Avodah Zarah over here. Hishtachavaya is a broad Isur that is created because you bow down to the whole tree. There, everything is a Surah. On the other hand, when it comes to the growth, when you make indications that you're only interested in the growth, that excludes the Ikar. So even Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda will agree in this Mishnah that the Ikar is Mutar. The Ikar is Mutar because Gidol Pislo is an indication that you're not interested in the Ikar, you're only interested in the growth. And Eibaitema, there are others that want to say that, Rabbanan Gidol Pislo Yitzrichalei, that we need in the Mishnah, why? The Sakadat Chamina came into Avadlei Maaseh B'Gufei Ikar Ilan Nami Yitzar. Since you took an action in the Ikar tree, when Ishtachavaya, all you're doing is, it's something from afar. You're not taking action, a Maaseh, in the tree itself. So therefore, we would say only the Tosefta is a Surah, not the core tree. But once you've taken action on the tree, you've gone a Gidol Pislo, and you've actually worked on the tree itself. Maybe in that instance, not only would the Tosefta be a Surah, so too the core will be a Surah. Kamash Malan, our Mishnah, the Gidol Pislo, only the Tosefta is a Surah, not the Ikar HaIlan. So therefore, we could explain way Ravashi is doing now, which is Shmuel's halacha now will be the Divrei Akol. Shmuel's halacha, according to everybody, that Tosefet Asura, you bow down to a tree, anyone who bows down to a tree, anything that grows on that tree afterwards is Asura, according to Rabbanan, and according to Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Yehuda. Their machlokets about Ilan Shinato Ulusof Abdo, that's about the Ikar Ilan. Is the core of the tree Asura or not? Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Yehuda say yes, Rabbi say no. Our Mishnah is also the Divrei Akol. Our Mishnah that says Gidol Pislo could be according to Divrei Akol, because according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, the Chiddush in our Mishnah is that once you make an indication that you're only interested in the growth, I no longer worry about the Ikar. So when does Rabbi Yossi say the Ikar is a Sur? When I make no indications about what I'm interested in. But if I take an action that shows what I'm interested in, the Ikar then is Mutar. The Mishnah could fit according to the Chachamim, because the Chachamim say, the Chiddush in our Mishnah is that even though you took action in the Ikar tree, the Ikar is still Mutar. And that's why the Mishnah gave us the Chiddush of Gidol Upislo. So now it'll reconcile between the two of them, and Ravashi's explanation will stand in Shmuel's statement. And Shmuel now is the Divrei Akol, which Shmuel's Alocha now will be the Alocha, because he is the Divrei Akol, according to Rabbi Yossi Yehuda and according to the Chachamim.
And what's interesting that you say that
which is the idea that we spoke about before, that you can't be oser something that's mechuber the right mechuber the karka already. It's already mechuber the karka. It's tvisatoba karka. You don't have a right to create an iser on that part of it. What you can change, what you can do, is everything that grows afterwards you can have impact on, and that's why the chachamim will say their position. It's now a new mishnah. Ezehu Ashira, what's an Ashira? So obviously the Gemara is going to jump on this right away. What do you mean, what's an Ashira? We just had a mission that listed for us, three Ashirot. So why is now the mission asking us, Ezehu Ashira? That should be well known already. So Kol Sheyesh Tadeh HaAvodot Chachamim, anything that has Avodah Zarah under it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol She'Ovdim Ota. You have to actually worship the tree itself. Ma'aseh B'Tzidan, Bilan Shayu Ovdim Oto. There was a tree that they were worshipped. U'matzu Tachtav Gal. There's also a pile of rocks underneath it. Amalem Rab Shimon Badku et Agal Azir. Go ahead and check what's in that pile of rocks. Ubadku, they checked the pile of rocks. Umatsu bo tzura. Inside or buried in this pile of rocks was a image. It was a pesel. Amalem Hoel Vitzura Hein Ovdin. It's clear that what they're bowing down to here is not the tree, but rather the tzura, the pesel that's in the pile of rocks. Natir et Ailan. Then the Ilan is going to be Mutar. So over here, Rabbi Shimon's basic position is that an Asherah is only when the tree itself is worshipped, not when it's covering or a accessory to the Avodah Zarah. So over here, we have an example of a case in Sidon, where the evidence was that what they were bowing down to was not the tree, but rather the pestle that was found under the tree. So Rabbi Shimon Lashitato says, the pestle is the problem here, and that's a pestle under a tree. A tree does not become a surah, as long as they're mevatel, the avodah zarah. I mean, if we remove the avodah zarah now, there's no problem. The tree itself is not going to be problematic. Okay, so that's what the Gemara is going to answer, exactly what Shul just said. Ezu asherah, banan shlosh asherot tanan. What do you mean, what's an asherah? We just gave you a list of three asherot. Achi Gemara, shtayim divrei akol. Two of them are divrei akol. The first two asherot, according to everyone. Vachat machloket Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan. The last listing of asherah in the previous Mishnah, now we're going to explain what that is. That is a machloket Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan. Ezu hi asherah shenechon kubba Rabbi Shimon Chachamim. What is the Asherah that they argue about? Anything that has a Avodah Kochavim under it, but it itself is not worshipped. Shen Omer Koshov Dimota. Shen says you've got to worship it in order for it to be a surah. So that's the end of this piece of the Gemara. Now we're going to have a Machlokas Amoraim about something else. Ezu Asherah Stam. What is an Asherah? When do you assume that a tree has a classification as an Asherah? How do we know that it's an Asherah? You walk by a tree, how do I know that they worship the tree? How do I know that they do worship this tree? So now, I'm a Rav. Rav says, Kol shekomrim yoshvim takteh, entomim miperotah. When the priests of Avodah Zarah sit under the tree, but they're unwilling to take any benefit from the fruits of the tree. So that's indication that the tree is quote-unquote kodesh Avodah Zarah, because they're unwilling to use the tree at all. They don't take any benefit from the tree. Shmuel amar, afilo amrei hanei tamre the bein nitzufei asur. So that even if they do get benefit from the tree, what is it? They take the fruits and they say we're going to take this a date tree, for instance. They take a date and they say we're going to make it into beer in Bein Nitzufe, in a place of what is Zara? Asur. Why? Durami Beishikra Vashatile Biyome Dam. They make it into beer, date beer, and then they drink it on their holidays. I mean that they when they say it's Kodesh, means Kodesh into Avodah Zarah. It has to be used for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. That doesn't just mean Kodesh off limits, but Kodesh means that if you do take the fruits of the tree, they must be dedicated for purposes of Avodah Zarah. So here, where they're going to make the beer, they're going to only drink the beer on the holiday of the Avodah Zarah. So that's okay.
So why do we ask the tree? Now, why don't we ask, just like we said, like the additional part, why don't we ask just the fruits?
This is an indication that this tree is an Asherah, that they worship this tree. That the Isur on the Perot is an indication of their relationship with the tree. So Rav's indication is that when you make it into Avodah Zarah, they're totally b'dilei mineh, that they won't touch it at all. That's an indication of worship. Shmuel says, no, that's not true. That b'dilei mineh is not the case. They use the fruits, but they use them dedicated towards Avodah Zarah. If they dedicate the fruits towards Avodah Zarah, that's not an indication that it's not Avodah Zarah, this is Shirah, but rather it's an indication that it is Avodah Zarah because they are dedicating the fruits to that purpose. So Rav's qualification for what Avodah Zarah is a higher standard versus Shmuel's standard, which is that even when they benefit from the fruits, as long as those fruits are being dedicated towards Avodah Zarah, that's fine. Amar Meimar, Amrli Savi de Pumpetita Elucha Toki Shmuel. The elders of Pumpetita told me that the Elucha is like Shmuel in this case, that's enough, that it's not that B'dila Minei, but actually that as long as they dedicate the fruits towards Avodah Zarah, it's an indication that the tree itself is a problem of Avodah Zarah. Like Rav, right? To be serim, it's like Rav. So here you have Sabi Pumtadita saying that it's like Shmuel. All right. Lo yishev bitzila. One may not sit in the shadow or shade of a tree that is an asherah. Bim yashav tahor. If he did sit there, then he is tahor. Lo yavor tachta. One may not pass under the tree. Bim mavar. But if he did pass under the tree, tamei. Then you become tamei. The Gemara is going to discuss all of this. Aita gozela d'drabim. On the other hand, if the tree was causing problems for public access or a public thoroughfare, was over a public thoroughfare, then vavar takteh, then if you pass under it, tahor, then it's okay. Because we're not going to allow the asherah to take over the public thoroughfares and cause problems for people to pass over there. That's mostly relates to the fact that this is only a isur derabonon. The isur of tumah that's associated with the asherah is a din derabonon. The psukim are in a smacha be'almo that we're going to see in the Gemara. And therefore, it's a din derabbanan. The rabbanan goes there, but makom, that it causes problems for the rabbim to pass through. They're not going to make that gzeira that makes it tenable for the rabbim that they didn't do. The other pshat here in the Mishnah is the Ravid gives pshat. Here the Gra quotes in the Shem the Ravid, it's also the Shem the Meiri. What it means that Haguzela to the rabbim over here is not that the Ashira grew over into the Shuta Rabbim, but rather he describes it as being that the Derech was there prior to the Ashira. Similar to what we said before, it's a question of who came first by the tree. Was the tree there first and then they worshipped it, or they worshipped it and then there's a tree? So same thing over here. Was the Derech Harabim precede the Ashira, or the Ashira precede the Derech Harabim? That's what it means over here. Guzilla the Rabbim is that the Rishut Rabbim existed first, then the Ashira has no right to come and take away the Rishut Rabbim. That's the way that the Ravid and the Meiri explain it, as opposed to Rashi, which seems to make no difference. It doesn't matter which came first. As long as it's a Rishut Rabbim, we're not going to be Gozer. The Chachamim are not Gozer in those instances. One may not sit in the shadow or the shade of the tree. What's the question here? You have an Ashira that is a Vodazara. You're not allowed to get Hanoah from a Vodazara, so you can't sit under the tree. What's the question here? What's the question in the Mishnah? So, Amar Abba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Litzuchah Letzel Tzilah. It's talking about the Tzel Tzilah. Now, Tzel Tzilah, it's not clear. What does that mean, Tzel Tzilah? So, Rashi over here interprets, and that's the way that most of the Rishonim explain it over here, that is Tzel Tzilah is that in the morning, in the afternoon, when the sun is at a sharper angle, the tree has different amounts of shade. There's shade which is directly under the tree itself. And then there's a shadow that's cast beyond the actual tree, beyond the height of the tree. So if I was to take the tree, it's now, you know, erect, the tree. If I was to lower the tree down and make it horizontal, then there's a shadow that exists to the point of how far the tree is if I tip the tree over. But there's also a shadow that extends beyond that point. So Tzel Tzilah is any shadow beyond what the height of the tree should cast. Okay, that's the basic explanation. The tree itself...
The tree itself.
Correct. Anything that's longer than the tree itself, that's called Tzel Tzilah according to Rashi. Now, on the other hand, the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayot, Rambam gives a different explanation for Tzel Tzilah. And here the Rambam says that it's an interesting explanation. Tzel Tzilah, he says, Leishay B'Tzilah is B'Tzel Gufa Ilan, is the trunk of the tree. The shadow cast by the trunk or the main parts of the tree, that's Tzel. Aval B'Tzel Anafeha, the shadow cast by the branches, Valeh, and the leaves, Mutar Lola Shevetcham. That's Mutar, that is the Tzel Tzilah. We're going to see, the Gemara is going to get there. We're not up to that part in the Gemara, but the Gemara is now going to redefine the Mishnah. But what you see here is that the Gemara, we have Tzel and Tzel Tzilah. According to Rashi, Tzel means anything, the shadow that's the length of the tree, where Tzel Tzilah is anything beyond the length of the tree. The Rambam differentiates between the core of the tree versus the branches and the leaves. Anything that's part of the core, cast by the shadow of the core of the tree, that's Tzel. Anything that's by the branches or the leaves, that's Tzel Tzilah. So now Gemara says, that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Nitzchah Letzel Tzilah. Michlal, the B'Tzel Komata, that if you sit in the Tzel, the shadow cast by the height of the tree, and Yashav Tamei, if you sit there, you're going to be Tamei. Because you're saying our Mishnah says, Tzel Tzilah, don't sit in Tzel Tzilah, but Im Yashav Tahor. The indication is that by Tzilah, by the Tzel itself, don't sit there. And if you do sit there, you're going to be Tamei. Oh, Yashav, B'Tzel Tzilah, Im Yashav Tahor. But that indication means that if he sits in the Tzel, he will be Tamei. And the Gemara is not willing to have that. Look. Tafilu Tzel Komata Nami, Im Yashav Tahor. No, even at the height, if it's going to be the Tzel, then you are Tor. V'hakamash Malan. That's like, this is what you were saying. Dafilu letzel tzilah lo yeshev. So that's the Echadish. So you're going to break the Mishnah up. Lo yeshev b'tzilah means lo yeshev b'tzel tzilah. V'im yashav means even b'tzilah Tor. So that's now the answer to your question. That's what the Rambam is speaking about. So you have here, you may not sit under the tzel, the regular tzel. You may not sit under tzel tzilah. That you may not sit under either one of those. Now, if you do sit under either one of those, you are tahor. What is the place where you are tamei? That's under the tree itself. Meaning that if you're under all these, when we're talking about tzel and tzel tzilah, we're talking about that where the shadow is beyond the scope of the tree itself. Right. You have to say that, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. Obviously, if you're sitting under the branches, or under the leaves of the tree, then you are in a problematic situation. We're going to see that from the second half, which is a mavar, tachtav, that you're tamei. If you pass under it, you're tamei. Certainly, if you sit under it, then you are tamei. Igan amani la seifa. Vim yeshav tahor. If you sit under it, you're tahor. Pshita. Am Rabbi Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, Nitzuchah letzel komata. To teach you the tzel komata. Michlal. The tzel tzilah afilu lechatchila yeshev. And when it comes to Tzel Tzilah, in Lechatchila you can sit under it. If you're going to explain what's the Chiddush over here, The chiddush over here is that by tzel komata, you are tahor when you sit under it. That means that the first part of the mishnah is also talking about tzel komata. Lo yishev tzila means tzel komata. That means tzel tzila, you wouldn't be allowed to sit under it. Lo, hakamashman dafilu tzel komata im yashav tahor. So that comes to teach us, no, that even if you sit under tzel komata, you're still tahor. But it's asur to sit under tzel tzila. Ah, you're going to ask me, what about the Rambam and then Perisha Mishnayot? Let me read you the Rambam again. The Perisha Mishnayot does not sound like that. Over here he says, Lo yishev betzila betzel guva ilan, aval betzel nafeh baleha mutar lo lashevet sham. He's allowed to sit there. It sounds like that he doesn't have this kamash malam. The Gemara, look in the Aleph. The Aleph is a gota gra. Gota gra says, aval Rambam lo goresla, v'cheinu b'yushalmi rif rosh v'shulchanach ishmitu kol zeh. This last piece of the Gemara of Lo does not exist in the Rambam and does not exist in all these Rishonim in the Yerushalmi. So that means that the Ikad Amani La Seifa, the conclusion of the Gemara would be this way. Afilu lechatchila yeshev, stop. That's it. Then when it comes to Tzel Komata, when it comes to Tzel Tzila, it's mutar lechatchila to sit under it. There is no problem with Tzel Tzila, and that's the way the Rambam Paskin. The Rambam passes away. The Rambam Perishim Mishnayot is describing our Gemara based on the Ikid Demati La Seifa without the Kamash Malan part, without the Lo, because he didn't have that Kirsan. That's what the Gemara points out over here. The shadow cast by the trunk, you may not sit under that. And if you do, you are Tahor. The shadow cast by the leaves and the branches, you may sit under, and you are Tahor. On the other hand, if you sit under the branches, the physical branches and the leaves, or under the tree, we know that that's problematic, because Yimavar Alav Tamei, that we said before. Right now, the Gemara says, V'lo Yavor Tachtecha, V'yamavar Tamei. You shouldn't go under the tree. If you go under it, you're Tamei. So my time, so this is the, when Rashi said in the Mishnah, that obviously in our Mishnah, any time we're talking about it, you're not Tamei, is the case when you're under the shadow and not under the physical tree. If you're under the physical tree, you're Tamei, because if you pass under the tree, you're Tamei. My time, there's no possibility that under this tree, there's no item that was used as a function towards worshipping Avodah Zarah. Mani, who's the author of this? Rabbi Yehuda ben Teiri, the Tanya we saw earlier in the Gemara, earlier in the Masechta Lamed Bet. Rabbi Yehuda ben Teiri omer, minali tikrov et Avodah Chachamim shemitameh be'ol. How do we know that things that are used to worship Avodah Zarah have a din of tumat ol? Shenemar, v'yitzmedu le'baal po'or, v'yaklu v'yziv chemitim. So this is the lima that we had earlier in the Gemara about the connection or the hekesh between mate and avodah zarah. So it's like mate is metame boel, so to avodah zarah is metame boel. So here the assumption, now my assumption is that when you're under the tree itself, the physical tree, then there's also tikrovet avodah chavim there, and you're meant to, you and the tikrovet chavim are being, they have an ohel over you of the tree. And that causes the problem of Tuma over here, and that's whether you pass through or you sit there. Either one is problematic. Why you're Tahor by the shadows is because there is no hell over here. That is correct. I thought goes to the Rabbim, Avar Tachtea Tahor. It was stealing space from the Rabbim, and you went under it, then you're Tahor. Ibailahu. Avar, O Over. Our Mishnah says that Avar, if you passed under it, you are Tahor, or may you lechatchila pass under it. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar Mishmei Dechizki Amar, Over. That's lechatchila. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Im Avar. That's only, it's not, it's bidyevit. Below plige, they don't argue. Ha de'ika dircha achrina, adaleka dircha achrina. It depends on whether there's an alternative route. Now, Tosus points out, when we say an alternative route, means an equally alternative route. And you see, Tosus over here, de'ika achrina achrina, peshur katsar kazet. It's the same length, same distance. We're not going to ask you to go to a longer distance, to go out of your way, in order to avoid it. Because it says, imkenein ledavar sof. You can always find a longer route. Depends how much longer you want to go. So he says, that's not a reasonable request over here. Reasonable assumption is that if you have equal opportunity to make the trip and it won't be an inconvenience, don't take the route that goes under the Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, if you don't have an equal alternative, going under the Avodah Zarah over here with Mutar Techamim, we're not goes there in this instance, Tuma. Amalei Rav Sheshis L'Shamei. Rav Sheshis said to his Mishamesh, Kimati Lahatam, when you get to the city under the Avodah Zarah that's over the thoroughfare, Arihitni, run me fast. Now, Rav Sheshis was a Sagi Nahor, he was blind, and he was being carried around on what equivalent to a rickshaw. He had his Mishamesh was pulling him on a rickshaw, and he says, when you get under the tree, move fast, run. Don't just walk under it. So, Echidami, what's the case here? Idalek Adicha Achrina, if there's no alternative path, Mamalei Arihitni. Why should he have to run? Mishra Shari, we said it's a Chatchila, you can go under it. If there is an alternative path, what does running do for you? Doesn't he's still passing under the tree? It doesn't help you at all. It says, there is no alternative. He didn't want to set a precedent, meaning that it's true, and there's no other alternative, you're allowed to go under here. But he wanted to show that it was problematic. He wanted to indicate that it wasn't just simple that he went under the tree. Right. So some sort of shinoi to indicate to people, you have to be conscious of the fact that there's an asherah that is coming over into the public thoroughfare. Because if you have an alternative route, we're going to insist that you take that alternative route.
You made the concept in general, like, and the
right. Well, they're not asaring, they're just creating tuma. It's tuma. You can't, I mean, if you have a mace, that if you have a tree that hangs over a mace and over the Yishud Rabim, that's an ohel. You'll be tamei if you go under it. No matter what you think, you can't aser. It's tuma. Tuma is tuma. It's not iser. Tuma is just an existence. It's a you know, spiritual reality. Yeah, we don't want you to do that. We don't want you to put a tree. We try to cut back. They have a Rishus base and has a Rishus to cut back trees that create tuma into Rishus Rabim. We have these principles, but the fact is, if there is tuma there, that it does make you tamei. It's not an inyan of iser, it's an inyan of tuma.
If you
have,
like, in the center of town, you have a big vessel.
Right.
You have the vessel itself and it has a shadow.
Vessel's worship. Yeah. Then you'll have a problem. Now, again, that the shadow, you can pass on. There's no tuma issues. It's just that we would ask you not to take benefit. Le'yushay b'tzilah is not don't walk through the shade. It means don't benefit from the shade cast by the pestle. Don't sit there to get shade, to protect yourself from the sun. But what would be interesting is, according to the Rambam, there'll be no tzel tzilah by a pestle. That's an interesting concept. According to Rashi, tzel is the height, the shadow cast by the height of the pestle. Tzel tzilah is anything beyond that point. According to the Rambam, there's an ikar of the tree plus the branches and the leaves. By a pestle, there is no such thing, right? So then maybe there is no tzel tzilah, according to the Rambam, when it comes to a pestle versus an asherah. That will be interesting. Next Mishnah. Zorim tachtea Yirakot bimot ha-gishamim. One is allowed to plant vegetables under it in the wintertime. Avalo bimot ha-chama, not in the summertime. The idea being that in the wintertime, the vegetables need as much sun as possible. The shade cast by the Avodah Zarah is negative. Right? It has a negative influence on the, or negative effect on the Yirakot, therefore it's problematic. On the other hand, in the bimot ha-chama, it's too much sun. So then the shade cast by it is beneficial. When it comes to chazirim, or this sounds like chazeret here, comes to some sort of forms of lettuce, then you shouldn't plant them whether it's winter or summer, because there the shade is good for them in both times periods, both seasons.
And how do you plant things under the tree without passing under the tree?
Because it's your work.
Plant it. That's a good question, how he did it.
You can also throw the seeds.
You could throw seeds, I guess. Right, Rabbi Yosi Omer, Aflo Yirakot Bimot HaGshamim, can't put vegetation there in the winter time. You finish in Yibia, no Sheret, Alehem, Babylon, Elizabeth. So whether it's Nimia or Nibia, it's a question about Girsa, but that because we're afraid the leaves that shed from the tree provide fertilizer for the vegetation that's under it. So there'll be benefit. Even though the shade is not beneficial, the fertilizing effects of the tree shedding onto these vegetables will also be beneficial, and that's problematic. The memra. From this it, you would conclude that Rabbi Yossi Sarva Zebeze Goreim Asur. When you have two inputs that are causing the vegetation to grow, that is Asur. Over here you have the fertilizer that's being provided by the Avodah Zarah, and you have the ground underneath, which is Muteret. The ground itself that provides the benefit to the growing of the vegetation, and you have the fertilization by the Avodah Zarah. That Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur, according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbanan Amre Zev Zeh Goreim Mutar. And Rabbanan our mission say it's Mutar, are going to say Zev Zeh Goreim is Mutar. Now it's very important, Tosus makes the distinction here, he's going to make it on tomorrow's daf as well, which is that when it comes to Zev Zeh Goreim, you have to know that Zev Zeh Goreim doesn't mean that there are two inputs into the item. Zev Zeh Goreim has to be that there are two inputs that generate or do the same thing to the item. So over here, it's not that you have, I do something to the vegetable, you know, and therefore it grows. So that's Zev Zeh Goreim is Mutar. As we, just like the leaves falling off the fertilizer helps the vegetation to grow, so too the earth provides nourishment and fertilization for the vegetation to grow. So that's Zev Zeh Goreim. Very good. So that's exactly what Tosfos asks in the Mishnah. How come the Chachamim, Bimot HaChama, in the summertime say it's Asur? I mean, that they agree in the wintertime it's Mutar because the shade is detrimental. But exactly what Tzvi just said, in the summertime the Chachamim agree that the shade is problematic. Why not say Zev Zeh Goreim? It's going from the ground, which is Mutar, and you have the shade, which is Asur. So that's Zev Zeh Goreim. Tosfos says they're not the same thing. The shade being provided to the vegetation and the ground are not providing the same benefit. Since they're not providing the same benefit, that's not zevzeh gorim asur. That's very important. He says here, it's a Tosfos, third Tosfos on the Yomud here, Rabban and Sabi says, Gomuta perisha ben shmol, mikom mikom asur Rabban yirakot bimot hachama, just like Tzvi said. Well, the gorim mitzel chashinan shkulo asur, shoto hanash etzel otzel agin, min hachama, in a karko usef. They provide different benefits. They are totally different benefits, and therefore they're not classified as zevzeh gorim mutar. So you have to know zevzeh gorim has to be two items that provide the exact benefit to the item in order to be zevzeh gorim mutar. So that's just, for instance, the Gemara uses all the times when you use, I'd say, a shira to fire up an oven, or use something like that, and you have mutar itzim also. So over there, zevzeh gorim, they're doing the same function in that case. Also over here, when they do the same function, that's zevzeh gorim mutar. It's a very important distinction to make over here. Right, so now the Gemara, it's the third Tosfos on the Yom, and tomorrow's Tosfos also. The Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, we heard that their opinions were just the opposite. It's not. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shochek Vizoreh L'Ruach. Then when it comes to destroying of Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to grind it up, crush it, and then throw it to the wind. Oh, Matil Yam, or throw it into the ocean. Amrugo, the Chum said you can't do it that way. Avina says Zevel, that they crushed up Avodah Zarah. Now will come Zevel to help or benefit plants. We have to totally eradicate Avodah Zarah. You can get no benefit whatsoever from it. So in that case, it sounds like Rabbi Yossi says Zevel Goreim is mutar. And over there, the Chachamim seem to say Zevzeh Goreim is Asur, the exact opposite of their opinions in our Mishnah. Kasha de Rabbanu de Rabbanu, Kasha de Rabbi Yossi, de Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara says, Vishlama de Rabbi Yossi, de Rabbi Yossi, lo Kasha. Rabbi Yossi is not a steer over here. Hotam Gazal li Ibud. Over there, where the whole intent, this is what Rashi says, the whole intent of the crushing over here is to make it La'abed Oto, to destroy it. So if your intent is to destroy it, we know that Avodah Zarah, that is crushed by itself. Right, so that was destroyed by itself is shnishtabra me'aleh, is considered mivutal. Here where you actively go ahead and crush the Avodah Zarah, that's the ibud.
It's not.
Okay, it's a machlokes, very good. So Tosfos is going to disagree with Rashi because of that. So Rashi seems to be two-faced, that okay, if it destroyed by itself, that's mutar. So here where you actively are crushing it, it's clear that it's mivatal the Avodah Zarah. If your intent is to mivatal the Avodah Zarah, we're not going to worry about the sprinkling of the zevel afterwards. So therefore he's matir. Over here, where it doesn't go to Ibud. The whole point is that the leaves now fall, and then they fertilize the vegetation that's there. I mean, they become part of the fertilization. There's no bitul over here of the leaves themselves. Asur. That is asur. So Tosfos takes issue with it, one for Shoal's reason, one for another reason. That the case here of Azul the Ibud is the low shchiach, shiavoli zibul, b'zriyat the ruach. He says it's not an issue of yes or no. It's an issue of whether normal outcome of this situation will be fertilization. When you crush up a Avodah Zarah and then throw it the ruach, what's the chance that that ends up as being zevel or fertilizer? That's a remote instance. That's why it's mutar over there. Over here, where the tree sheds leaves into the vegetation itself, the likelihood is that they will provide fertilizer to the vegetation. So Tosfos says it has to do with likelihood or percentages or chances. So that's the differentiation over here. Rashi, on the other hand, makes a distinction that is relies on the fact that your active or your dat is to destroy the Avodah Zarah. When your dat is to destroy the Avodah Zarah, then we're not going to worry about the fertilization that comes afterwards. On the other hand, when it happens by itself, over there, maybe we will just consider it, or it's a problematic that the hanor that you're getting is direct from the Avodah Zarah itself. Now the Gemara continues. Hello, the Rabbanon, the Rabbanon, Kasha, what are you going to do with the Rabbanon? That's solved, Rabbi Yossi, but what about the Rabbanon? Ipuch. So the one way to solve the problem is to flip their opinions over here. Flip our Mishnah, and therefore you won't have, obviously not give the answer that we just did to distinguish between Rabbi Yossi, but to say that we flip their opinions. From Ipuch, their opinion is always consistent. Rabbi Yossi always says, Zev Zeh Gorim is Asur. Chamim always says, Zev Zeh Gorim is Mutar. But now the Gemara says, "Ibay deima lolam loti puch." All right, don't flip it. Rabbi Yossi kideshaninon. Yossi is like we just learned before that the difference between active destruction versus it happening by itself. The Rabbanon kideama Rabbi Mari bray the Rav Kana mash mashbiach beor pogeim bebasar. So this has to do with a case that has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. That has to do with psulei amukdoshim. But psulei amukdoshim, you have to wait if there's a mum in it, and a psulei amukdoshim, and then you sell the item, and the monies go towards hekdesh. When you sell the item, there are two parts to every animal that can be sold. There's the ur, the skin, and the basar, and the flesh, the meat of the animal. The best way to benefit the ore, to get the best price of the ore, is to cut the ore from the leg, from the bottom of the leg. So based on that, the Gemara says, why don't we? Why does the Mishnah not allow us to cut from the ore from that point? They say it's bizui kodshim to do that. Bizui kodshim to cut from the feet of the leg over there. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean bizui kodshim? You're going to get more money, and all that money is going to accrue to Kodesh. The money is going to Kodesh. Why do we waive a bizui kodshim? So the answer is, based on Rabbi Murray Bey to Rav Kahana, which says that the value increase in the ore is detracted from the basar. When you cut the ore, when you do have shaked the skinning of the animal that way, the benefit that accrues to the ore, it comes to the detriment of the flesh. That type of cutting injures or causes problems for the flesh, and therefore the flesh will be worth less. So there's you have to look at the total picture. The total picture says, is value being increased here or not? True for the ore, it's being increased. But the detriment in the value of the flesh, of the basar, is greater than the value increase in the ore. So if you add them together, you have a net loss over here, and that we're not going to let you do, because it's busy coaching. So same thing over here. Hochanami, mashabish biach, minibiach, pogim bitzel. So you have to look at the total picture over here. What's the net over here? There's shade that causes a loss. There's fertilization from the leaves, that's a benefit. I look at the benefit of the fertilization, I look at the loss of the tzel. The loss of the tzel way exceeds the benefit of the fertilization of the leaves. So I have a net loss over here. So that's why the Chachamim, generally the Chachamim believe Zevzeh Goreim is Asur. Over here, they're not going to say Zevzeh Goreim is Asur, because you have to look at the net outcome. The net outcome over here is a loss. It's a loss. If the net outcome is a loss, there isn't Zevzeh Goreim Asur, there's no Goreim. You have the leaves and the shade. The leaves and the shade together are a net loss to the vegetation. There's no benefit over here. So now the Gemara challenges it. V'sova Rabbi Yossi zev zev goreim asur. Does Rabbi Yossi really believe that zev zev goreim is asur? That's not. We have a Mishnah in Orla. Rabbi Yossi omer notim yichur shel Orla. Ve notim egoz shel Orla. You may plant a yichur, which would be a shoot of Orla, but one may not plant an egoz, which is the fruit itself. One may not plant the fruit itself, because the fruit itself is asur bi'ana'a. And if you plant the fruit, then you have an isur hana'a that is being planted. V'amar Yehuda Marav, Mode Rabbi Yossi. Yossi agrees, Shim noto v'hivrich v'yirkiv mutar. That if he goes ahead and he does plant it, and then he's hivrich v'yirkiv, it's mutar. V'tani namiyochi, Mode Rabbi Yossi, Shim noto v'hivrich v'yirkiv mutar. So now what do you have? You have a case here where when you originally plant the fruit, is Isra Na'ah. Isra Na'ah, you're not allowed to get. That you can't get. The Isra Na'ah is also, we don't allow you to plant fruits of Orla. You can't get benefit from the Orla. On the other hand, right, if you plant the Yichur Shel Orla, that's fine. Now, what happens if you did plant the fruit? You went ahead and you planted the fruit and it grew something. So that's what he says, Imnota. And then you took that tree that was planted and either you grafted it or Hirkiv. Or you put it into the ground again. And what he's saying is that if you take the tree that is problematic, the orla, if you note ego shel orla, that tree creates a tree that is a surah. Anything is totally a surah. Any growth out of that tree is going to be problematic. Even any gidul out of that tree is problematic because it's brought from Isur Hana'ah. So again, here we have a Mishnah. We have a Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi says, if you take a yichur, take a nof, you take a branch from the tree, and you plant it or lie, that's not a problem because the branches are not a surot. It's the fruits that are a surot. So that you're allowed to do. You take the egos, you take the fruit itself and you plant it, that's problematic because that's Isur Hana'ah. Isur Hana'ah, you can't go ahead and plant and then get a benefit from it. So that's the statement in the Mishnah. Long come, we have a modification to that statement of Rabbi Yossi according by Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, which says that Rabbi Yossi agrees that if you did this, you violated, you planted the fruit and you grew something from it, then when the tree grows up, it has fruits, obviously those fruits are a surot. But if you take this new tree and then you're markiv or you are mavrich, either take one of the shoots out of that tree and bring it underground to somewhere else, or you graft on another tree on top of it, over there, it's mutar. So why is it mutar? It's mutar over there because you have zev zeh goreim, you have a pre-orla, which is the origins of this tree, and now you have a nekin tree, which is either created through the grafting or through the hivrich that you brought underground, and the karka now is sustaining the third tree. So there you have zev zeh goreim, it's mutar. Zev zeh goreim would be mutar according to Rabbi Yossi. That goes against what we just established in Rabbi Yossi. We just established according to Rabbi Yossi, zev zeh goreim is asur. And now we have a qualification to his statement in the Mishnah Berurah, which indicates that his his doing of this with the plant, with the tree, Zev Zeh Goreim is mutar. So that's the Gemara's question. Do you really think that Rabbi Yossi believes that Zev Zeh Goreim is asur? I have a Mishnah in Orla with a qualification, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. It's not just Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, it's also a Braisa that says that Rabbi Yossi agrees when you are Hivrich or Hirkif. In those instances, it's mutar because you have a case of Zev Zeh Goreim is mutar. So now, what are you going to suggest? Shani Leil Rabbi Yossi ben Shari Yisurim Lavadot Kochavim. Yossi is going to differentiate between every other Yisur and Avodah Zarah. But Avodah Zarah is going to be Machmir for Zev Zeh Goreim Asur. But over here, we're talking about Orla. Orla is another Yisur. There, Zev Zeh Goreim is going to be Mutar. It says, Mishani Leil. Vatanyo. We have a Braisa. So this is Dablo Bzevel Avodah Kochavim. Ben Parash Nit Patma Bekashnei Avodah Kochavim. When you have something, a field that was fertilized with Zevel from Avodah Zarah, or a cow that was fattened up with Karshinei Avodah Kochavim, Tani Chado, we have one bright that says, Sadeh Tizara, that Para Tishachet, so that the field has to be, can be planted, and the cow can be shechted, but Tani Idach, Sadeh Tavur, that you have to leave the field barren, fallow, right, with Pare Tirzeh, and you have to shrink, you have to put the car back on a diet to lose the weight that he gained from the Karshinei Avodah Zarah. My love, what's the difference between these two brightot? Ba Rabbi Yossi v'ha Rabbonon. That's Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbonon. So if the difference between the two outcomes over here, you have here a case of Zev Zeh Goreim in the case here. Why? You fertilize the field with fertilizer from Avodah Zarah. You plant something in the field. That which grows in the field is benefiting from the nutrients in the ground plus the fertilizer. That's Zev Zeh Goreim. We have one brightot, we have one outcome that says mutar, one outcome that says asur. So how are we going to explain the two difference in it? Well, one must be Rabbanan, who says Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur. And one must be Rabbi Yossi, who says Zev Zeh Goreim is Mutar. So that'll be the outcome over here. That'll provide a problem, that create a problem for us, because now we see that Rabbi Yossi is saying Zev Zeh Goreim is Mutar, even by Avodah Zarah. Same thing with fattening the cow. The cow is not just fattened from the Karshinei Tumah, but now you have to sustain it, you'll have to feed it. Over there, it was not the only, its nutrition didn't come from the Karshinei Tumah. There are other things that provide nutrition to the cow. It would exist beforehand. It's also Zev Zeh Goreim Mutar. So over there, again, if Rabbi Yossi holds that Zev Zeh Goreim is Mutar, then Rabbi Yossi is the author of that position that says, Shech the cow and eat it. On the other hand, if he holds Zev Zeh Goreim Asur, then we don't have an opinion that says Mutar. Who's the opinion over here? So that's the basic problem here. The Gemara is asking a question, which says that you're assuming that Rabbi Yossi believes Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur, Bechola Shas. All of a sudden we find a case by Orla, we say Zev Zeh Goreim is Mutar. Ah, you want to distinguish between Avodah Kochavim and Orla? I have a case by Avodah Zarah, which sounds like Rabbi Yossi is the author of a position that says that Zev Zeh Goreim is Mutar. So now the Gemara says, well, how Rabbi Lazar v'hai Rabbonon? No, the stira and the brace over there is a Rabbi Lazar and the Rabbonon. That difference between Rabbi Lazar and the Rabbonon will explain, or Rabbi Lazar and the Rabbonon will explain the difference. Now the Gemara will go on. We won't go there today. We'll continue this. You know, tomorrow's daf. What is this Maklokes Rabbi Lazar and Rabbonon? So at this point in time, the Gemara's distinction between Avodah Zarah and other things will stand. Because if we can explain that brayta by Bifatma, and we can explain that brayta by Sadash and Nizdavla as not being Rabbi Yossi, then Rabbi Yossi has a position that by Orla, Zev Zeh Goreim is Mutar. By Avodah Zarah, Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur. And that will be the distinction. Rabbi Yossi's belief by Avodah Zarah is that it is Asura, and Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur, whereas by cases of by Orla and other things, Zev Zeh Goreim will be Mutar. And that will explain the difference. That will be the solution to our problem over here. Okay, just a couple quick things here. One is that Rashi over here explains what are the cases here of Hivrich and Hirkiv. So Rashi says, Hivrich or Hirkiv is Yichoshel Olah B'Ilan Zakein. He takes an older tree. Mutarim Pitarim. You take an older tree and graft it onto the younger tree. That is Mutar. That's what the grafting is over here. You take an older tree and bring it on top of the tree of Orlah. That's what makes it Mutar over here because it's Zev Zeh Goreim. You have the base tree, which is the Orlah fruit tree that was growing out of an Orlah fruit. And then you have the top tree, which is the Zakein. Now Rashi quotes the Gemara from Sotah, quotes it, that generally, Yaldas is Simcha B'Skeina. If you take a young tree and place it and graft it on top of an older tree, there's no Orlah in that case because we say that the base tree is the one that determines over there, and there's no din of Orla. So to over here. And Rashi brings that there were others that explained differently than him. What does it mean here, Kiv, over here? And Rashi says there were others that explained, and he rejects his Lashon. Lashon Acher, im natai goshel Orla. If you go ahead and then plant the ergos of the new Orla tree, Then when it grows up, and it grows up now into a tree, that he takes it and places it in the land of Heter, mutar. Right, achar zman bain bain nami ayidei ayilan shel heter, because new fruits that grow afterwards are coming from heter. Kashli b'lo ivrich b'lo ukiv nami ikizem zegorim megos disur v'karka heter. Rashi says, I don't understand this explanation. The tree that he grew from the fruit of the orla, it's growing, and now it has some fruits that are starting to grow in it. Takes that tree out of the ground, cuts it, and then grafts it onto another tree. Those fruits continue to grow. So now, what those fruits that are growing now, they have contribution both from the orla tree, as well as from the zakein that's underneath it. Now, the new grafted tree is also contributing to the fruits to grow. So the fruits' growth were contributed both by the original orla tree, as well as by the new grafted tree that it's sitting on. So that's mutar. Rashi says, what type of case is this? Why do you have to do this? I could actually pick the fruits off that tree. The tree of Orla, that you planted a fruit of Orla, you grew a tree and now fruits on it. You could take the fruits off that tree and plant them in the ground. That's Zev Zeh Gorem also. Why? Because the karka and the fruits together are Zev Zeh Gorem. Why do I have to go and graft it to get Zev Zeh Gorem? I can get Zev Zeh Gorem from the ground itself. Tosos comes up, asks Shaul's question. He said, I said before, Zev Zeh Gorem, Zev Zeh Gorem only applies when they do the same function. Says Rashi's wrong over here. It says Perish Kondrish Lashon B'Lashon Achron. It says it's Zeh Lashon Ikar. Tosa says that the second Lashon of Rashi is right. Rashi's wrong. He says why? He says Umash Ikshiv Kondrish Avilo Yivrich V'Yakiv Nami Lo Dak Deinikra Zeh Zeh Gorem El Kshishneim Inyan Echad. That they provide the same benefit over here. So that's when you provide the same benefit over here. Here they're not providing the same benefit. One tree is providing the sustenance from the ground, or over here, the sustenance to the tree itself. The other one is the ground itself. You have two different issues over here. One is the base of the tree, the other one's the ground itself. Those are two different issues. You can't call that Zev Zeh Gorem Masur or Mutar over here. That when you plant the fruit in the ground, one is the seed, one is the ground, one provides nutrients, one provides the seed. That's what you were asking before. That's not Zev Zeh Gorem Mutar. That's not Zed. Zed does this and Zed does that. They're not connected at all. So now, Umash Perish Belishon Rishon. Now, what Rashi explained in the first one? He Yichur Shelola Bilan. Like, come on, Yadas Vachab Zkena. He said that the grafting is taking the new orla tree and planting it onto a Zkena. The Batela, ain't any don't do mele raya. Says they're not comparable cases. Da, Yafil Mandomar Zev Zeh Gorem Asur Mutar. Over here, the person who says that Zev Zeh Gorem is a sewer says that when you graft from a young tree and place on an older tree, Kevin Shibatela big skena. So here, why are you bringing this case over here? That case over here, it's true, it's mutar. But it's mutar even according to the one who says Zev Zeh Gorem is a sewer. So there's no proof from that to Rabbi Yossi holds Zev Zeh Gorem is mutar. Because if you think the case is that way, even the one who says Zev Zeh Gorem is a sewer, when you do such a grafting, will say that it's mutar. So there's no proof about his position about Zev Zeh Gorem. And the Mar is after his position in Zev Zeh Gorem over here. So that obviously cannot be the explanation over here. Now Tosfos also asks over here one last thing, which I'll point out. Tosfos asks, what's the difference between Orla and Truma and Maser? By Truma and Maser, we say if you plant it, you're not allowed to plant it. But if you do plant it, the Gdulim are Mutarim. Over here by Orla, we say if you plant, not don't plant it. If you do plant it, the Gdulim are Surim. Why is that? So Tosfos says we have to make a distinction. The Ish Lomar, the Orla, Shasura Bahana, Ish Lasura Gdulim, Kajam Zeh Hana. That's an extension of Hana. It will be Surah Achila. By Truma the Masras, where the Isra is an Isra Achila, not an Isra Hana, over there, in Lasura Gdulim, Sheino Chela Isra Atzmo. Because the Gdulim are not eating the Isra itself. It's a new product. It's a new item. So that's the distinction he makes between other Isurim and the Isura Bola. It's things that are Isura Hana. If you plant them, the outgrowth, or the Chamer are going to be Gozer, the outgrowth, that it's problematic. Not in cases of Truma Maser with Isra Achila. In those cases, we're going to say that the Gidulim are okay. They're okay to eat.